Welcome, my dear friends. Welcome to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. I am the agent for truth, Joe Bannister, your host. Happy Saturday morning to you. Freedom Above Fortune radio show comes to you courtesy of Frank Talk 104.3 FM, as well as on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. You and I both know that our country is in deep trouble, and I urge everyone to fervently pray for God's blessings on our country. Let's redouble our efforts to obey His commandments, especially refraining from taking the Lord's name in vain. I invite you to join my email list by visiting my website at freedomabovefortune.com. You can click on mailing list on the left-hand side of the homepage. You can also go to agentfortruth.com for more information about me and my work, and there's also a way to join the email list there at agentfortruth.com. Briefly, for the benefit of new listeners, I'm a former IRS special agent. I worked in the IRS Criminal Investigation Division. I no longer work for the IRS because during the last 2 years of my service there, I performed an off-duty investigation into claims that the income tax laws do not actually require most Americans to file federal income tax returns and pay federal income tax, and that the IRS was actually deceiving the American public about their true income tax obligations. After gathering and analyzing a great deal of documents and evidence, I concluded that these claims about the federal income tax system were largely true. And when I asked my IRS supervisors to discuss my conclusions with me, they not only refused to have any discussions with me, but they also encouraged me to resign from my position at the IRS. So my IRS career came to an end rather abruptly in 1999, when I did in fact resign from the Internal Revenue Service, and I've been speaking about my experiences and conclusions regarding the federal income tax and other constitutional liberty-related matters ever since. Our guest is Wayne Paul, CPA. He's the founding partner of Paul Phipps and Company, and they are located in Alvin, Texas, which my understanding of Texas geography, that's in the Houston area. So, Wayne, thank you very much for coming to the Freedom of a Fortune radio show.
Thank you, Joe. It's good to hear your voice and good to be here.
Well, I've had Wayne on the show a few times in the past, and we've come to be, I'd say, pretty good friends. I certainly just have the utmost respect for him. People may recognize that the last name of Paul, Ron Paul, is one of Wayne's brothers. Wayne, how many brothers and sisters are there in the Paul family?
I have four older brothers, and Ron is the middle of the five of us.
And but you took a route towards becoming a certified public accountant, and my understanding is that you've been serving clients for over 30 years. When did you get your CPA certificate?
Oh, golly, now you're going to really date me. I got out of graduate school in 61, went to the service and from 1962 to 65. So it was probably around 1967 or 68 that I became certified.
Okay. Well, that's
and during that period of time, you had to work 2 years in industry before you could set for your exam. That's not the case now, but it was then.
Right. And did you become certified there in the great state of Texas?
No, I was still in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at that time. It wasn't until 1972 that I moved to Texas.
Yeah, I think you're right. Most states, there's not a requirement to sit there or to work in industry. They still have generally an audit requirement where you have to fulfill a certain number of audit hours in addition to passing the exam. Is that correct?
Right. But you can go take the exam. A lot of them are going to graduate school taking their exam, then getting their auditing experience, and then the certificate is issued to them.
So
that's the way it happens today.
So maybe let's start with just telling the listeners a little bit about the Paul Phipps firm. You have a partner whose last name is Phipps, hence the Paul Phipps and Company CPAs, which I'll point out, the website is Paul, P-A-U-L, Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S, And then CPAS.com, PaulFippsCPAS.com. But so you have a partner, his last name is Phipps?
That is correct. And what happened was I moved to Texas with my family in 1972, and I just opened up a practice in the same town where my brother Ron lived at the time. And interesting enough, the first week I was there, he got an inquiry from the IRS. They were going to audit a tax return, which I believe was like 1970, because that was 72. And he says, would you take care of this IRS audit for me? And I said, sure, give me a power of attorney. I'll go see what they want. So that was my first indoctrination into really being an advocate of the taxpayer. I got to figure out a way to find out what they want and how I can answer what their needs are as far as this audit was concerned.
And so
and I can tell you a quick story if you don't mind.
Sure, but now just to clarify, this was for Ron was being audited or someone that Ron knew?
No, it was my brother. He was medical practice in the town I moved to, and he just happened to have an IRS audit when I got there.
How about
so
that?
The biggest question the revenue agent had was the dollars of deduction for vehicle use for his practice. They thought it was unreasonable. Well, he lived 7 miles from the hospital. So to go to and from the hospital was roughly 15 miles a trip. Well, he saw every patient in the hospital every morning and every evening, so that was at least 2 trips. He then would come back to the office and see 40 or 50 patients. Well, in the meantime, if one of the ladies was in labor, he might go out 2 or 3 times during the day to check her out. And if the baby wasn't due just yet, he'd go back and see more patients. Well, I thought the best way to support his deductions was I went to a hospital, and in the year under audit, I asked the hospital to give me the number of babies that my brother had delivered that year. And it was over 365 babies, so he delivered better than a baby a day. So I calculated it out, and I called the agent back, and I said, oh, by the way, I'm glad you brought this up, because he underreported his vehicle expense, and here's how I arrived at it. She says, oh, I'll accept the return as it is, and that's what I heard of it. So that was my first indoctrination.
How about that? So yeah, they that's been my experience too, that they're happy to call you on the carpet that you've overstated the deduction, but then when you find out that you may have understated it, then they don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah. Well, Jim, my partner, Jim Phipps, is now primarily the chief operator at the office. And he's been with me for about 19 years, and I'm slowly in the transition of allowing him to become 100% owner in the company, and hopefully that'll be accomplished in the next 3 to 5 years.
I see. Now, it's interesting that you talk about your first experience with that IRS audit with Ron, because when I was when I began my short career there as an IRS special agent, it's typical that the employee will get audited, and I was audited, and similar type situation where they claimed that, we were renting a house that was actually our own personal residence, and so the agent tried to claim that the house was a vacation home and disallow all the depreciation deductions. So I fought them every step of the way, even though I was already working as an IRS special agent, and eventually fought them and won and found that I was too conservative and that actually they owed me money. And fortunately, because it was a background investigation kind of audit, I was able to submit the evidence and actually ended up with a refund check. So even though
Great
they would have liked to have, you know, closed everything down and moved on without, you know, giving me a refund, I ended up with like a $1,000 refund check. So that was my first experience, and I was an IRS agent, and yet they were auditing me. So they do tend to be pretty heavy-handed, and, you know, demand all this proof, and then you give them the proof and show that we're not only in the right, but we were little kind to you, so we'll take some money back, please.
Well, what I'd like to do, Joe, is maybe after our break, I'd like to give you one more story of where I was retained by a third party just to do their IRS audit. I had not done their tax returns, but I had been referred to these people, and I actually flew to, I believe, Colorado for an audit, and I like to tell you the story about that one.
Okay, well, you've got maybe about a minute and a half, so maybe just get started, and I'll let you know. We've got about a minute and a half.
I got a phone call from somebody in Denver, Colorado, saying that they were under audit. They heard that I was qualified and capable of working with the IRS as it relates to the audit. So I flew out there one evening, had a meeting the next day, and the lady says, well, I want to meet at their office. I says, no, we'll meet at your conference room. They're not going to disturb their office because that's where they see patients and do their business. She said, well, I don't know whether I can get a conference room. I says, well, I'll see you there tomorrow morning and we'll go over whatever audit questions you have. So we met in the conference room of the IRS office, and they turned around and did their typical audit of deposits. We brought in the bank statements, they added them all up, and the deposits that went into the bank were less than the deposits reported on the tax return as income. It was like $1,000 or $1,200. I says, oh, good. Let's just set that over here to the side. That's a credit for the taxpayer. And they spent the rest of the day auditing the expenses. And if they said, well, we ought to disallow this $200 or $300, I says, okay, fine. We'll just apply it to this over reporting of the income. And we got to the end of the day. And I said, ma'am, I said, it's 3 o'clock. I got a flight back out at the airport. At 5 o'clock, I got to leave here. She says, well, I'm not finished. I says, well, whatever questions you still have, you write them down, send them to my office. In the next 2 days, I'll give you the same, I'll give you the support and the answers that we've had today. And I turned around and left. She didn't appreciate that, but I left. I got a notice from them a day later or 2 days. We answered their question and went back, and there was a no change on the audit. But it's a matter of being assertive and understanding that these people are very intimidating, and you've got to prevent that from happening if you're the taxpayer.
That's right. Well, we do have a break coming up, and we'll just finish up on that story and a good lesson for all. Our guest is Wayne Paul, CPA, and we'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for being here.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in Broadcasting.
This is Randall Yearout on jurisdiction. When the U.S. territories applied for admission into the Union as states, the overarching principle that drove this decision was the desire to determine their own destinies and to be removed from what the U.S. Constitution calls the exclusive legislative jurisdiction of the Congress over the properties owned by the U.S. government. When what is now the state of Washington removed itself from this exclusive jurisdiction, it was required to write its own constitution, which would provide for a representative republican form of government for its citizens, such as the case for every state which joined our union. Today, our U.S. government officials and bureaucrats have lost sight of this fact, and now want to reassert exclusive legislative jurisdiction over the states and turn them into administrative subdivisions as though we were territories again. Sorry, U.S. government. But the Constitution says you don't have that authority. And Americans are beginning to realize that our founders intended for the individual states to either succeed or fail based on their own laws and policies. If the people don't like the way a particular state operates, they can move to another one where they do. The way our federal government operates today, the entire nation either succeeds or fails based on the policies of 535 legislators in Washington, D.C. And from what we can see from its history of failed social policies, I don't think these guys could pour sand out of a boot if the directions were written on the heel. We need to replace the socialist mindset in Washington, D.C. and our state governments with a restored American view of law and government.
This constitutional message has been brought to you by the members of the Constitution Party. Visit us at www.constitutionparty.com.
In a bold move today, President Obama announced he will try to negotiate with the raging wildfire, which has so far burned over 14,000 acres. The president is confident he can convince the flames to stop incinerating everything in their path.
The president plans to make the wildfire understand that our difficulties are shared difficulties, that it's not man against fire, but man and fire working out their differences.
This fire has burned over 300 homes so far. It's growing larger by the hour. What is Obama's strategy?
Well, look, you know, previous administrations have immediately resorted to putting wildfires out, but this is a different president, and he just didn't think that a combative approach with hoses and axes would be the best way to solve this crisis.
But Jason, so far, the fire has refused to acknowledge any of the overtures the president has made.
Yes.
Obama sent a letter requesting it cease its destruction, and the fire apparently incinerated it without even reading it.
That's true. But, I mean, look, politically, this is a stroke of genius, I think. I mean, the most powerful man in the world is offering an olive branch to this petulant fire,
yes,
and the fire looks pretty bad here, childish. I mean, you know, as Obama has said himself numerous times, if he wanted to, he could talk to the clouds and get them to unleash a great rainstorm upon the wildfire. Yeah. But that's not this president.
American. Born to freedom, the Liberty Revolution is on LibertyWorks Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Determination. Pass it on. Brooke Ellison is a surprising person.
When I was 11 years old, I was hit by a car and no one expected me to live.
She surprised people by living.
I've been paralyzed from the neck down and on a ventilator since that time.
And she surprised them by going to college.
Tomorrow, I will graduate from Harvard.
Determination. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host, agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com. Our guest for this week is Wayne Paul, CPA. He's the founding partner of Paul Phipps & Company, PLLC, in Alvin, Texas. That's in the Houston, Texas area. And their website there at the Paul Phipps accounting firm is paulphippscpas.com. I can even give you the office phone number. It's area code 281-585-8894. Wayne, what kind of services does your CPA firm offer?
Well, we do regular accounting and bookkeeping. We do payroll. We do certified audits. Our primary area is in not-for-profit organizations. We do a lot of tax litigation work for taxpayers, whether it be just in audits, in appeals. I have to pay dues to the American Institute of CPAs, the Texas Society of CPAs, but now I got to pay a fee to the Internal Revenue Service to get a PIN number because I can't find a tax return without it.
Sounds like they've got the system complete where you're a captive audience.
Well, the other thing, Joe, and we're going through it right now, the IRS can take my PIN number, my PIN number, and they can isolate every tax return that I ever produced and put it into one file and look at every one of them and pick on Wayne Paul if they want to.
Seems like with the number, that's what they can do, right? With any, whether it be a citizen or a preparer or anyone, that numbering system allows them to coalesce and group any enemy.
Yeah, and I often make the comment, the American Institute of CPAs is an organization that was formed to, quote, endeavor to protect and help the CPAs in the United States. And unfortunately, though, that's not happening today.
Well, I have to agree there, too, Wayne. I even read an article that there's quite a close relationship between the AICPA and the United Nations and the Council on Foreign Relations, and it seems to be just another vehicle to, you know, control people even on a worldwide basis. I mean, that's not here yet, but the framework has been built and is being built to where, you know, the people that we ultimately answer to will have even less accountability than our current Congress and executive and judicial branches.
Yeah. Well, I liken that to the American Medical Association. They've done the same thing to doctors. They've cowtailed to regulations as opposed to protecting and helping the doctors. And that's so unfortunate because those organizations started out to be a beacon of light to the professional to help them in everything they were trying to do to better a person's life. And, you know, I just feel that's been abused.
Well, speaking of, you're totally correct. But speaking of medical issues, you had let me know that you've experienced some wonderful miracles relating to your own health. And we got about 4 or 5 minutes left in this segment, but maybe at least begin to explain to the listeners what happened and why you're so extremely joyful.
Well, Joe, about 30 years ago, I had four separate neurologists make a determination that the fact I was losing muscle mass and nerve endings, that I had a hereditary disease, and there was nothing anybody could do about it. So for the last 6 years, I've been designing living quarters in my lifestyle, figuring I was going to be in a wheelchair, and I was very close to being totally in a wheelchair and being fed by my wife about 18 months ago when, through my brother, I got in contact with Baylor College of Medicine, the neurological department, which asked me to come in, and they wanted to determine if I was a candidate for what is called DBS, deep brain stimulation, whereby they could control my tremor and help me live a more fruitful life. I had four exams by four different doctors, but the second doctor, based upon DNA studies, which they didn't do 30 years ago, it was determined that I did not have a disease because of my heritage, and that I had a massive inflammatory condition that showed up in the fluid in my spinal column. And it's now a year later, and after treatment and after rehab in terms of muscle, I have regained approximately 45% of my nerves and muscles in my arms and legs. I now can carry groceries into the house and never could do it before. There are so many things that I'm blessed with being able to do today that I couldn't do 25 years ago, that I am truly a walking miracle, and I'm thankful to the good Lord every day of my life for what has happened to me and the life I now can live that I thought was ended a couple years ago.
That is so wonderful. So the and you say Ron basically different colleagues that he knew of at Baylor, they kind of took a second look or took a look
what
at
it. What
you.
It was, Joe, is he got a quarterly newspaper from Henry Ford Hospital in Michigan where he had done a residency. And on the magazine, it had the letter DBS. And he thought of my tremor and my problem, and he called Henry Ford Hospital in Michigan. They referred him to one of their students who is now head of Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And that's how the connection, that's how I got to Houston and the neurological department of Baylor College and the phenomenal people there. It's just been amazing what they found out, what I've been able to do.
Now, you say we talked about the inflammation a bit, and it's conjecture, not really certain where it may have come from, but did you say that you were exposed to possibly some issues relating to agriculture early in your life?
Well, where I lived on the Gulf Coast in Texas, I was subject to the rice fields to and from work every day, and you know, massive exposure to chemicals that was used to spray the rice paddies. These airplanes, I'd probably pass underneath them 5-6 times on any given day going to and from work. But that's all speculation, but that's kind of where they think might have, could have possibly caused the initial reaction in my body to create the condition that I had. But I don't dwell on that. I only dwell on my daily successes because it's phenomenal enough that where else can an old man turn around and feel better every day?
Well, and at least certainly you know that it's not a hereditary condition, and so therefore that can also give you some, you know, peace of mind that you're really on the road to recovery.
Well, the big thing was being able to call my children to let them know that so they wouldn't have to worry about it.
Sure. Well, our guest is Wayne Paul, and we've got a break coming up, but we'll be back after these messages for more very interesting information. Please join us.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, not everyone understands that.
You don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org
and connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there. It seems these days I'm in a haze and I can't concentrate on things, can't eat or sleep, feel incomplete and kinda scared and creepy. I look over my shoulder lots and shudder when I watch TV. I bite my nails and cuticles and watch my words very carefully. I bite my lip a lot and fidget with the buttons on my blouse. Why? Because there's a communist living in the White House. Why aren't people shocked or something? Why aren't people up in arms? Does anyone read history or see red flags or hear alarms? The streets are filled with deaf and dumb as I squeak like a mouse. There's a communist living in the White House! You may say, do I have any evidence to support my suppositions? His grandparents were socialists, his father was a communist, he had Marxist professors, he taught a course in college on Saul Alinsky, he told Joe the Plumber on the campaign trail, spread the wealth, which is a direct quote from the Communist Manifesto written by Karl Marx. He appointed Van Jones to be his green job czar. Van Jones is a purported communist. His church of 20 years, with Jeremiah Wright preaching, was black liberation theology, which is actually Marxism. Then as soon as he got in office, he had the government take over the banks and the car industry, and now he's trying to jam down our throats socialized medicine and the cabin trade. I mean, how much more proof do you want? Everybody is a communist living in the White House. Now what are we going to do about it?
Along with Samuel Adams, Patrick Henry was most instrumental in establishing the American dream. Henry made the following plea.
The battle, sir, is not for the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. There is no retreat. But in submission and slavery, our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard upon the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable. And let it come. I repeat, sir, let it come. Oh, gentlemen may cry, peace, peace. But there is none. The war has already begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north shall bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Is life so dear and peace so sweet to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Give me liberty or give me death.
Patrick Henry, one of the foremost framers of individual and religious freedom, a son of liberty and the American dream.
The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Isn't life an awesome gift? Married couples have the power to co-create an eternal life with God that will last forever. God has also designed us so that we can plan our families effectively, naturally, and without chemicals or barriers. Learn natural family planning in English or Spanish through classes or home study from the Couple to Couple League. Visit ccli.org or call 800-745-8252.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in Broadcasting.
Dad, where did the clouds come from?
Well, buddy, that's a good question.
Is this worm a boy or a girl? Why are church orange?
Actually,
Dad, why don't you have any air on your head?
How do birds fly?
Why is dirt brown? Why can't I fly?
Why can't I fly?
Are we there yet?
You may not have all the answers, but if they're comfortable coming to you now when the questions are small, they'll come to you with the bigger questions later.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in Broadcasting. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host, agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com. Our guest for this week is Wayne Paul, CPA. He's the founding partner of Paul Phipps and Company, PLLC, in Alvin, Texas. That's in the Houston, Texas area. And their website there at the Paul Phipps accounting firm is paulphippscpas.com. I can even give you the office phone number. It's area code 281-585-8894. Wayne, what kind of services does your CPA firm offer?
Well, we do regular accounting and bookkeeping. We do payroll. We do certified audits. Our primary area is in not-for-profit organizations. We do a lot of tax litigation work for taxpayers, whether it be just in audits, in appeals. Even though we are not able to represent them in tax court, we have attorneys that work with us that if they ever get to tax court, they would represent the client. But 95% of all those cases that go to tax court get settled before trial.
I see. Okay, I just thought, you know, important for the listeners to know that. Because now, you have clients all over the country, correct?
I've been very blessed, Joe. At one time, I believe we had clients in 22 different states.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me at all, because I've certainly, you know, sent clients your way, and just everyone is really thrilled with your service and your professionalism, and you know, you really care about your clients, and you understand what they're up against when the IRS comes calling. But before the break, I had to interrupt with a great presentation that you were making about the year 1913, and then the you know, Federal Reserve Act, the 16th Amendment, uncannily being passed both in the same year, 1913, although there's plenty of evidence to show that the 16th Amendment actually wasn't legitimately ratified, but we'll presume for the sake of conversation that it was. And then you progressed into the 30s, and you were basically talking about the Social Security system, which I had recently been reading about the Social Security system, and an interesting article that indicated that a lot of the people that were ushering in that system, they themselves believed that system to be unconstitutional. But anyway, please continue with what you were telling the listeners about the Social Security system.
Well, what happened in 1933 is the United States government was bankrupt. The government went back to the Federal Reserve and it said, okay, we're bankrupt. We can't give you anything else. What do you need as collateral? And they said, well, we have to create a system whereby we have control of our collateral. And they instituted the Social Security system so that everybody would get a number, and therefore the collateral on the debt can be controlled, and you and I and our children and grandchildren are placed as collateral on the debt. That's why we have Social Security numbers. If you look at the Social Security Act itself, it defines the time and the only reason to use the Social Security number. And the original act says the Social Security number only can be used if the individual needs or wants a benefit that Social Security provides. It was originally designed only for that and not to be used for any other reason. Now, as you know, Joe, it's on our driver's license. It's on every bank account. We can't breathe. We can't educate our kids without a Social Security number. It is impossible to do anything in this country without a Social Security number, and yet the Social Security law says you don't have to give your Social Security number unless you want to benefit from Social Security. But they don't look at it that way today.
So it's a classic camel's nose coming into the tent, and the whole camel's definitely inside now.
You got it. You're absolutely right.
And I have to agree with when you said it's impossible. I know of a very nice lady who went all the way through her life, through elementary, high school, college, and chiropractic college, and never had a Social Security number. Her parents never got her one, and she was able to get all that way. Then she applied for her chiropractic license after passing the exam, having all the experience, and you know that she was denied from obtaining her license. What was the sole reason? Because she didn't have a Social Security number to provide to the board.
Unbelievable. See, so, even the IRS has relinquished that demand for tax preparers. But we now have to apply for a PIN number. And they charge you for the PIN number. So now I have to pay dues to the American Institute of CPAs, the Texas Society of CPAs, but now I got to pay a fee to the Internal Revenue Service to get a PIN number because I can't find a tax return without it.
Sounds like they've got the system complete where you're a captive audience.
Well, the other thing, Joe, and we're going through it right now, the IRS can take my PIN number, my PIN number, and they can isolate every tax return that I ever produced and put it into one file and look at every one of them and pick on Wayne Paul if they want to.
Seems like, well, with the number, that's what they can do, right? With any, whether it be a citizen or a preparer or anyone, that numbering system allows them to coalesce and group any enemy.
Yeah, and I often make the comment, the American Institute of CPAs is an organization that was formed to, quote, endeavor to protect and help the CPAs in the United States. And unfortunately, Joe, that's not happening today.
Well, I have to agree there, too, Wayne. I even read an article that there's quite a close relationship between the AICPA and the United Nations and the Council on Foreign Relations, and it seems to be just another vehicle to, you know, control people even on a worldwide basis. I mean, that's not here yet, but the framework has been built and is being built to where, you know, the people that we ultimately answer to will have even less accountability than our current Congress and executive and judicial branches.
Yeah. Well, I liken that to the American Medical Association. They've done the same thing to doctors. They've cowtailed to regulations as opposed to protecting and helping the doctors. And that's so unfortunate because those organizations started out to be a beacon of light to the professional to help them in everything they were trying to do to better a person's life. And, you know, I just feel that's been abused.
Well, speaking of, you're totally correct. But speaking of medical issues, you had let me know that you've experienced some wonderful miracles relating to your own health. And we've got about 4 or 5 minutes left in this segment, but maybe at least begin to explain to the listeners what happened and why you're so extremely joyful.
Well, Joe, about 30 years ago, I had four separate neurologists make a determination that the fact I was losing muscle mass and nerve endings, that I had a hereditary disease, and there was nothing anybody could do about it. So for the last 6 years, I've been designing living quarters in my lifestyle, figuring I was going to be in a wheelchair, and I was very close to being totally in a wheelchair and being fed by my wife about 18 months ago when, through my brother, I got in contact with Baylor College of Medicine, the neurological department, which asked me to come in, and they wanted to determine if I was a candidate for what is called DBS, deep brain stimulation, whereby they could control my tremor and help me live a more fruitful life. I had four exams by four different doctors, but the second doctor, based upon DNA studies, which they didn't do 30 years ago, it was determined that I did not have a disease because of my heritage, and that I had a massive inflammatory condition that showed up in the fluid in my spinal column. And it's now a year later, and after treatment and after rehab in terms of muscle, I have regained approximately 45% of my nerves and muscles in my arms and legs. I now can carry groceries into the house and never could do it before. There are so many things that I'm blessed with being able to do today that I couldn't do 25 years ago, that I am truly a walking miracle, and I'm thankful to the good Lord every day of my life for what has happened to me and the life I now can live that I thought was ended a couple years ago.
That is so wonderful. So the and you say Ron basically different colleagues that he knew of at Baylor, they kind of took a second look or took a look
at
you.
What it was, Joe, is he got a quarterly newspaper from Henry Ford Hospital in Michigan where he had done a residency. And on the magazine, it had the letter DBS. And he thought of my tremor and my problem, and he called Henry Ford Hospital in Michigan. They referred him to one of their students who is now head of Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And that's how the connection, that's how I got to Houston and the neurological department of Baylor College and the phenomenal people there. It's just been amazing what they found out, what I've been able to do.
Now, you say we talked about the inflammation a bit, and it's conjecture, not really certain where it may have come from, but did you say that you were exposed to possibly some issues relating to agriculture early in your life?
Well, where I lived on the Gulf Coast in Texas, I was subject to the rice fields to and from work every day, and you know, massive exposure to chemicals that was used to spray the rice paddies. These airplanes, I'd probably pass underneath them 5-6 times on any given day going to and from work. But that's all speculation, but that's kind of where they think might have, could have possibly caused the initial reaction in my body to create the condition that I had. But I don't dwell on that. I only dwell on my daily successes because it's phenomenal enough that where else can an old man turn around and feel better every day?
Well, and at least certainly you know that it's not a hereditary condition, and so therefore that can also give you some, you know, peace of mind that you're really on the road to recovery.
Well, the big thing was being able to call my children to let them know that so they wouldn't have to worry about it.
Sure. Well, our guest is Wayne Paul, and we've got a break coming up, but we'll be back after these messages for more very interesting information. Please join us.